Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. Well, today, it's fair season. We're going to talk about State Fair. It's coming to Highland right after this. Back to 1945. That's off the film soundtrack to a great musical of the era, Rodgers and Hammerstein's State Fair. State Fair is a classic. It's not one of those that is played too often in local community theater, and I'm very excited about the fact that Highland is bringing it to the gazebo stage, and it's a free performance, as I understand.
It is absolutely free.
Peggy Glennie is with us. She is the director of this particular play. And Peggy, why State Fair? Why is this a good? Is it just because it's fair season? Is that why you chose it?
You know, that's just more of a coincidence because mm-hmm. the Porter County Fair opens this weekend. The Lake County Fair opens the first weekend in August. Porter County's next weekend, the weekend we open, and then the Lake County Fair opens the weekend we close, as well as the Indiana State Fair. So mm-hmm. it's kind of coincidence. But just Highland is a small town, and this is kind of about a farm family, you know, their big adventures going to the state fair as farmers. And just the young people, the kids, who are really just young adults, they're bored with town life. You know, they want some excitement and adventure. And I think kids in Highland kind of relate to that because mm-hmm. Highland is a small town. You know, there's a lot to do, but, you know, if you're under the age of 20 and can't drive, you know, it may seem like your options are few. So
I did a cover story for the Times newspaper this past Thursday, and I interviewed some of the folks at the Porter County Fair. And one of the things that I thought maybe they were seeing a decline in the younger people coming out because we're all, you know, today's millennials are all working with their thumbs and
right.
and it's
yeah.
all high tech and music yeah. and streaming and online computers. And I said, you know, is the old fashioned fair entertainment even enticing them? And I was surprised to find out that in many ways, yes. They said that a lot of the kids out here are still very rooted yeah. in agriculture, and the 4-H right. has really, which is the mainstay of most right. county fairs, has really continued to flourish.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I know around Valparaiso there are quite a few farms, you know, kind of going out toward LaPorte County.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. Up here, Northern Lake County, we don't have too many farms. So
right.
it kind of makes it a little difficult to relate.
But I know Lake County still has some of the old-fashioned stuff. They've got the bean spitting contest
oh, yeah.
and the frog jumping
oh, yeah.
contest
and I worked that, several
that
times
the Post Tribune sponsors.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a lot of fun. You see these kids out yeah. there. And I just think of when I was in English class reading Tom Sawyer
right.
and Huck Finn
yeah.
and the frog jumping,
right.
you know, and all that.
The simple things.
The simple know, things. And there's pie baking contests.
Right.
And, I mean, it's so old spun. I'm expecting Aunt Bee from Mayberry to show up with a
you
pie.
Really
you know?
Do. Yeah. And that's even part of the plot of the show. The mother is making her preserves, her pickles, and her mincemeat, you mm-hmm. know, for judging the competition. And it's kind of a funny scene in the movie and hopefully in the stage version as well, where this one woman wins all the awards and mom just once in her life would like to win something. You know, just something
I think we all
like
have that feeling
yeah.
at some point.
Yeah.
We can relate to that.
You know, and so she does win a little bit tilted in her favor, and that's part of the plot we're not going to divulge, but you know, it's just something simple like that. She mm-hmm. just wants to win a blue ribbon. You know, the father, he does too. His prize pig, Blue Boy, you know, is up, and he wants to win the grand champion, the grand sweepstakes for the state. And, you know, so there's a lot of scenes revolving around the pig, No pigs were actually harmed in the making of this show, so don't worry. You know?
But we will have free bacon sandwiches later. No, yeah, just kidding.
It's just a simple story, you know, the simple things. The kids have, you know, their sweethearts. The oldest boy, Wayne, the older brother, his girl can't go to the fair because she's going to go to college. Mm-hmm. And he's worried that she won't love him anymore because he won't be as educated as she will be by this 1 year of college. And then Margie, the daughter, she's a high school graduate, but her, you know, childhood sweetheart, he's ready to get married, and she's just not, you know, into this. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows, you know, it's kind of, you had to be married in those days, you know, but she just wants something more in life. You know, she wants to get off the farm a little bit, so.
We've got the soundtrack from both 1962 and 45. We're going to stay with 45 at this point. There was a difference between the two.
Right.
The 1945 was more the stage version put to film, correct?
Actually, no.
No?
The stage version didn't come about until 1995, 50 years after the movie.
So the movie came first.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's first collaboration was in 1943 with Oklahoma. And the next year they did the film version of State Fair. They wrote some of the songs for it. And It Might As Well Be Spring, which we'll be hearing a little later, that won the Academy Award for Best Song that year. So it's the movie came first. And then in 95, a couple writers took it and turned it into a stage version. One of the songs I see from the 62 film, that is now in the stage version. That wasn't in the original.
Which is that?
More Than Just a Friend.
Okay.
It's a hysterical song. You have to really listen to the lyrics.
Well, we'll try to get to that today, too.
Yeah. But then some of the songs that they added to the stage version came from some of Rodgers and Hammerstein's other shows. They wrote 9 stage plays in addition to State Fair. 3 of them weren't that successful, so the writers went through their libraries, talked to the estates of both men, and pulled some of the melodies, added some lyrics, pulled some songs from others, added a few scenes to really flesh this out.
Now, the thing is when the film came out, was it Hammerstein had passed in 60?
Oscar died in 1960.
So Rodgers was left to write the remaining songs, the added songs.
Correct.
Okay. The version that we're going to see, is it just the one song, More Than a Friend, that has been added?
No. A few of the others have been added from other shows, as I said, to make it more of a longer stage version and to add more scenes. The collaborators went through Rodgers and Hammerstein's catalog and pulled songs from some of their other shows. One song comes from their 1955 show called Pipe Dream.
Okay.
That was based on a John Steinbeck novel. It was not successful, but the song is now in the stage version of the show. There was one from Allegro, which they wrote in 1947. So the songs are all Rodgers and Hammerstein in some form or fashion, but they weren't part of the State Fair catalog.
The 1962 version was a lot more hipper, I guess you'd say, a little more pop culture-y than the traditional
Ann Margaret. Boone,
Had the teen stars of the day.
Right. And people did not like it. And ironically, it took place they filmed it at the Texas State Fair rather than
on the fairgrounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but in Texas, not Iowa. So that kind of threw people off. But we tried to find a version of it just for comparison and could not find it anywhere, even on YouTube.
Wow.
You know, so.
Well, we do have the film soundtrack from 1962. And even though we're basing most of it on 45, we're going to do that because it's a song you said we need to listen to. Tell us a little bit about this song before we play it. More Than Just a Friend.
Yeah. Well, Abel Frank is the father, and his goal is with his pig Blue Boy. And he and the other farmers are sharing photographs and swapping stories about their prized possessions. And they realize that, you know, these pigs aren't just animals. They're more than just a friend.
Okay. Let's play it. This is from 1962. We'll be back with Peggy Glennie and more on State Fair after this.
Oh, friend. You're more than just a friend. Loyal, loving, till the end. Sweet hog of mine. Sweet hog of mine. Warm and soft affection lies in your teeny eyes. Sweet hog of mine. Sweet hog of mine. When the lengthening shadows fall and the day is through, you will always hear me call, Sui, Sui. Other friends may drift away, tell me that you'll always stay. Of mine, sweet hog of mine.
Hog of mine.
You gotta
that,
love it.
That
you
is know? A cute song.
It is.
I'm almost picturing Pat Bertram on Green Acres singing that to Arnold or something.
It kind of sounds like it.
It does a little bit. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
More Than Just a Friend, that was added to the 1962 film, but it is part of the live stage production that you'll be seeing in Highland. And again, State Fair is going to be at the Gazebo Stage, which is in Main Square in the heart of downtown Highland. Six performances, the July 27th, 28th, 29th, and then the following weekend, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th of August. All performances at 8 p.m., Peggy?
They are all at 8 p.m. They are absolutely free of admission. You want to bring a lawn chair. They will sell programs for $2. That's
okay.
The only
charge.
And
that supports
charge.
The theater.
Absolutely. And they do sell concessions as well. And that also goes to help support the theater. But a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of dog walkers wandering in and out. Mm-hmm. Some stay, you know. But, yeah, families set up chairs a week in advance. You know, they're very supportive of this.
This is all being presented by the Highland Parks and Recreation Department. And, again, it's at Main Square Park in downtown Highland. The park department has been doing community plays for a while.
About 36 years.
Now, how involved have you been with the parks department?
This is my fourth show with them. I did my first show with them in 2005. And in fact, you had mentioned your daughter was in that. We
right.
did
West Side Story.
And then that was the last official show on the old gazebo. In 2006, they did kind of a retrospective before they rebuilt the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did in 2013, I directed Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And then last year I did Footloose. So this will be my fourth show with them.
Now, for State Fair, again, we talked about it being a coincidence that it happens to be coming on during fair season.
Right.
What was it? Do you get to pick your plays or does the park department? Who approves them and decides what's going to run for the season?
The parks, they kind of have final say. We kind of, you know, try to decide together.
Okay.
The main thing, it needs to be family friendly because it is outdoors. It needs to be something that will appeal to all ages and not have any profanity or naughty things.
So we're not going to see hair anytime soon.
No, yeah.
Or Old Calcutta.
Yeah, no, God. Yeah. Or Chorus Line or anything.
There you go.
But, you know, it needs to be something that is family friendly because we do have all ages coming to that. And it needs to be something, you know, they do try to include young people with it, but part of it, it's, you know, a lot of the older teens are busy working, you know, trying to pay for cell phones and cars and things like that. So, you know, we kind of work together. So, you know, I throw out some ideas, they throw out some ideas, and we try to have a meeting of mine.
Who dropped the seed for State Fair? Was that you or
them?
That
would be me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a reason that you wanted to do that? Is that show mean something to you?
I just worship Rodgers and Hammerstein, admit it. And I just, you know, the songs are cute, and I thought, you know, for a small town, you know, it just seemed to fit perfectly.
How difficult is this particular production to stage versus some of the more traditional, you know, the Grease and the Josephs? And this is not something that everyone knows off the top of their head.
No, they don't. And usually Rodgers and Hammerstein, that gets a lot of the older crowd because they know the quality of their work. I think one statistic had that somewhere on the planet every single night a Rodgers and Hammerstein show is being performed.
Wow.
You know, so they do spread far and wide. So, you know, you have the quality of the music there. As far as difficulty, you know, everything's difficult because with this, it takes place in 1946. So you have period costumes, trying to get a set that, you know, we're on the gazebo. There's no place to really hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going from like the kitchen of the farmhouse to the fairgrounds. You know, and how is that going to be?
So is that creative staging then?
Yeah, a lot of it's
set
creative.
Design?
Yeah, set design, creative staging, prayers, you know, whatever works. So, you know, so it's a little, you know, luckily we're able to borrow some costumes. It's not going to be historically accurate, but at least you get the mindset you're back in the 40s where it's a simpler time. And that's kind of what I try to approximate.
You really work without a budget.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, everything that comes together, the cast, the crew, the set designers, yourself, it's all volunteer.
For the most part, yeah.
And it takes a team. It takes a village, so to speak.
Oh, it really
does. To make
this
production happen.
Yeah, it really does. And you get very creative, and I found myself asking people I don't even know, you know, can I borrow this? Do you happen to have this? And I needed a table skirt, and I happened to be in Munster at the Performing Arts Center and like, banquet hall. You don't happen to have? And I'm like, here, yeah. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. So, you know, it's just trying to be creative and use what you have. And sometimes it's just a little bit of luck.
I want to give a shout out to John Huber in the Spot Studio. They're going to be doing the sound reinforcement, the sound production on that. And special thanks also to our friends over at Broadway Music who are helping out on some of that. But it's an effort. People don't realize that for a two-hour performance or a 90-minute performance, it's weeks and weeks of preparation.
Months,
and,
actually, yeah.
And even the day of, I mean, hours to set up the sound and make sure the microphones are working, get the lights right.
Yeah.
Does that, have you found more people showing an appreciation for live theater when they, as we're getting into this new millennial?
Yeah.
It seems like we're getting more attention with Hamiltons and things like that. That maybe more people are coming out and showing more appreciation
for
it.
A little bit, yeah. And, you know, and part of the problem is that people expect like a spectacle with the explosions and the lights and all that. So when you have something that isn't exploding or things like that, you know, are you going to lose attention or things? But I have very, very good singers. And when I did Joseph, we had nothing. You know, they wore their own clothes. We had very few props. And people raved about it because they had just spent $90 to go up to Chicago to see a version. And this was just a nice, simple show. They could understand the singers. And it was just a sweet, simple, fun time. And they really liked that versus all the explosion and the glitter and all that. So, you know, I guess it makes a difference to each his own. So,
speaking of singing, we're going to do another song from State Fair, and this is going back to the original film version, because it is, after all, a grand night for singing.
Absolutely.
It's a grand night for singing, a moon is flying high, and somewhere a bird who is bound he'll be heard is throwing his heart at the sky. It's a grand night for singing, the stars are bright above. The earth is a-glowing to add to the show. I think I am falling in love. Falling, falling in love.
It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above. The earth is a-glowing to add to the show. I think I am falling in love.
Maybe it's more than the moon, maybe it's more than the birds, maybe it's more than the sight of the night and a light too lovely for words. Maybe it's more than the earth, shiny and silvery blue. Maybe the reason I'm feeling this way has something to do with you.
It's a grand night for singing, the stars are bright above. The earth is aglow, and to add to the show, I think I am falling in love. Falling, falling in love. It's a grand night for singing, the moon is flying high, and somewhere a bird who is bound to be heard is throwing his heart at the sky.
It's a grand night for singing, the stars are bright above, the earth is aglowing to add to the show. I think I am falling in love. Falling,
it's a grand time to fall in love as you're watching the State Fair production. So bring that special someone, bring a blanket and some lawn chairs, and pray for a warm, cool night with starry skies. As State Fair comes to the gazebo stage in downtown Highland, the main square park, Highland Parks and Recreation will be presenting it. That's a song from it. It's a grand night for singing. We have Peggy Glennie, the director of this production, in studio with us. And speaking of singing, Peggy, tell us a little about the cast. And again, we noted this is a volunteer community theater cast.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of effort. It takes a little something special to be a part of something like
this. It does. And I give the performers a ton of credit because, you know, I've taught speech and people are scared to death to speak in front of others. Mm-hmm. But to get on stage and to sing and do all that, that takes a great amount of courage. And very lucky with who we have. We have one family from Whiting. Laura Powell is playing the mother, Melissa, and her two daughters, Claire and Emma, are playing. Claire is playing the role of the nightclub singer, Emily Arden.
Mm.
And her other daughter is playing, I think it's Jean.
Are they veterans, so to speak? Have they been in other local productions?
From what I understand, they have. The girls have done a lot of productions in school. I believe they went to St. Thomas More in Munster, and they've done a lot of performances there. Their mother actually did shows at Main Square many years ago with her parents.
Wow.
So it's
an acting family. It's like the Barrymores of the region.
Yeah, but they're very, very talented, beautiful mm-hmm. singers. Andrew Robinson is playing Abel Frake, the father. He teaches music at Munster High School, and very, very talented young man. Their children, Wayne and Margie. Margie is played by Kelly Collins, who is taking, she's right now, I invited her to come with, she's at the Toll Theater taking classes, part of their youth theater program. She is just a dream. We were rehearsing with our orchestra over this past week, and she was singing It Might As Well Be Spring, the Oscar-winning song. And the one trumpet player, his jaw just slowly drops as she's singing. And I caught his eye and I said, isn't she great? And he's like, he's just mouthing, yeah. You know, he was just amazed. And she's just going to be a junior. Wow. So she's really very young. She has a wonderful future ahead of her. And Connor Ordonoff from Griffith, he is playing Wayne, the older brother. So...
Is it a big ensemble cast? I mean, obviously, you've got to have background people at the state fair.
Yeah, we have about 20 total in the cast. So some of the roles are combined. There's plenty of small roles for everybody. But it's just kind of, you know, who's available. You know, people have jobs, people have family, people have vacations during summer. And it's hard, you know, to make a big commitment of time like this. So
are the main characters are all going to be there at all six performances?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, everybody should be there at all six performances. So,
I know there's a couple of local plays I've seen where they'll have one of the main characters is split by two actors or actresses because of other commitments.
Right.
You know, you're not getting the big bucks to do this, so you do have to still make a living.
Right. And I've done that before, like with Footloose. I had two girls, you know, switch off as Ariel and Rusty, you know, and, in West Side Story, I had two Marias and two Anitas, you know, switch off. So it's, you know, you try to involve everybody and who's available, you know, and some, you know, it's difficult because you get seven people who are just, you could see doing the lead and they're phenomenally talented. And it's a difficult decision. But they come from all over the region, you know, even over the Illinois border sometimes. And we rehearse four evenings a week. And
how long have you been rehearsing? How long has the cast been together?
We started rehearsing June 5th, I believe, the first week in June.
Okay.
So kind of to do that. So we're pretty well ready to be done with this,
okay.
You know, but kind of anxious to get it going. I've personally been working on it since at least November when we agreed we were doing this and to start researching. So it's, you know, so it's been almost a year for me.
Is it an open casting call? Do you just get the word out and say, hey, we're going to do this play. Yeah. Anyone interested can come out.
Yes. They do advertise. Everybody is welcome. I have an age limit, you know, of 14, because with little ones, it's, you know, they need special care. And if I'm dealing with 20, 25 other people, I can't really give them a good close eye.
Right.
And there's nobody there to kind of watch for the little ones. So I try to keep it as adults, you know, at least they can fend for themselves, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, everybody's welcome. Rarely have I turned anybody down. It's, you know, it's been very talented people coming out for this.
Lot of repeats as far as the actors?
Yes and no. It kind of depends on the show. Some people want to be in a certain show, or their friend wants to try it out. They've never acted, so they're going to audition as moral support. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all sorts of reasons why people come out.
I've heard stories from some different actors in Hollywood where they say, well, I only went out to support my friend for the role, but I got the role.
Yeah.
You know, the director said, well, what about you?
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't even planning to audition. So do you see a lot of that kind of thing, too, where people just come out and you say, well, you know, we got an extra role. Why don't you try it?
Yeah, that does happen occasionally. So it's, you know, it's really kind of funny to see that. But people's talents, and some of them just want to be in it just to have fun. Some want to be, you know, in the chorus. They don't want a solo or something, but they just want to be part of the group, you know. And so kind of, it brings the best out in everybody, I hope.
You were mentioning about being doing speech instruction instead of a speech teacher. What got you into theater? Was it doing that led to theater?
No.
Did theater bring you to teaching?
Actually, band. You know, my high school teacher, we went to Chicago to see various musicals and things. And I've always been interested in, like, you know, I guess writing and staging things and like that, and something just clicked with the theater, and I decided that's what I wanted to do, which I haven't really. It's been more, you know, it's a volunteer thing, but I just enjoy putting these things together.
Where'd you go to school?
High school, I went to River Forest.
Okay.
In Lake Station, so, and in fact, your wife and I've known her since we were 12, because her mother was my...
I didn't know you guys went back that far.
Yeah, well, her mother was my sixth grade teacher, so
okay.
It's like we go way back, so... But you know, so kind of seeing that and the soundtracks, because when you hear a soundtrack, you can pretty much, this is what happened on stage, and you can use your imagination to fill in the blanks. And I like to do that. You know, you have your fantasy football leagues, you know, theater people, if you had your perfect cast, who would you have in what role?
Right.
You know, and that's kind of fun to do. But it's funny, the skills from theater help with so many other workplace issues and things like that, because here's your goal and your deadline. How do you get there? And bosses really don't care a lot how you get there, just
get the job done.
Yeah. And so it helps you think on your feet more and be more creative. So it does tie together.
Yeah. Let's play another track. Track 9. This is 1945, again, the version. It's all tell me a little about where this song plays in the film. This is an odd song.
Yeah, it's the beginning of Act 2. Blue Boy has just won this grand championship, and they're just celebrating everything that's wonderful about Iowa.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what this is. All
Iowa.
Yeah.
I can hear 'em calling hogs in the clear Iowa air. I can sniff the fragrant whiff of an Iowa rose.
You've got Iowa in your heart.
I've got Iowa in my hair. I've got Iowa in my ears and eyes and nose. Oh, I know all I owe. I owe Iowa. I owe Iowa all I owe, and I know why. I am Iowa born and bred, and on Iowa corn I'm fed, not to mention her barley, wheat, and rye.
I owe Iowa for her ham, and her beef, and her lamb, and her strawberry jam, and her pie.
I owe Iowa more than I can ever pay. So I think I'll move to California.
What a shame.
What a shame.
What a shame.
What a shame.
You'll be good and gosh, I'm sorry when you go.
I don't die, no.
When you leave your native state, you'll be feeling far from great. You'll be good and gosh, I'm sorry when you go.
I'm a seed of Iowa grain.
You're a breeze that Iowa blew.
I'm a drop of Iowa rain.
You're a drip of Iowa dew. Oh, I know all I owe. I owe Iowa. I owe Iowa all I owe, and I know why. I am Iowa born and bred, and on Iowa corn I'm fed, not to mention her barley, wheat, and rye. I owe Iowa for her ham, and her beef, and her lamb,
and her strawberry jam,
and her pie.
I owe Iowa more than anyone should owe. So I think I'll start in Owen, Idaho.
All together, what a shame.
What a shame.
What a shame.
What a shame.
You'll be crying like a baby when you go.
Don't I know? When I leave my native heath, with my lip between my teeth, I'll be bawling like a booby when I go.
You're a seed of Iowa grain. You're a breeze that Iowa blew.
I'm a drop of Iowa rain.
You're a drip of Iowa dew.
Iowa. Interesting, corny little song, and we were talking off air here about how there is a sense of corniness about this. And it's in part because it was a different time in America.
Oh, absolutely. It was, really before television, you know, 1946. So just everything was so much simpler. You know, the games at the carnival, you know, this, you know, trying to explain it to the kids, this was the big event of the year.
Right.
You know, you saw everybody you know at these fairs. You know, this was
the big
highlight.
They came from all the different counties, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because, again, going back to my feature that I wrote when I was interviewing for some of these fairs coming up, one of the things I said, is there such a thing I've heard as fair fatigue? I said, there's so many. It used to be the county fair and the state fairs.
Yeah.
Those were the big events in each community. Yeah. Now it seems every weekend there's a town or a church having a festival or a fair, and there's carnival rides, and there's games, and there's bands. At what point do you get oversaturated and say, we've had enough?
Yeah.
You know, we're fested out.
Yeah, I did that. You know, it was funny, in 2004 I was doing that, and I went to every single festival, and about two-thirds of the way through, is because it got to be once a week, and it was the same thing over and over and over. There was nothing different. So, you know, I know.
How many corn dogs can you eat? How many tilt-a-whirls can you ride?
Right, you know, so, but, you know, at that time, this was once a year, and it was just a big deal, so.
Yeah, everyone looked forward to it. And, of course, the 4-H part of it, the animal part, is we're talking about Blue. You groomed your animals for the whole year.
Oh,
You got up early. You made sure they ate well. You brushed them.
Yeah.
You made them look good. You made them – the weight was right. Same thing with the vegetables. You grew the biggest pumpkin, the biggest squash, you know, the biggest sunflower. And it was a pride thing. It was part of who you and your family farm was. And I think – at least I thought we were losing some of that. I was very happy to hear that the 4-H is alive. And well, and
that
so many of these younger kids today, you know, they'll put their phones in their back pocket when they go, but they'll go and they'll bring their animals, and they take great pride in it.
And I think it teaches them responsibility and things, you know, how to look for the long term. You know, this instant gratification we're so used to with everything, you know, with 4-H, you know, it takes planning, it takes time. And I think that's a valuable lesson for young people.
Theater. You were talking about the Toll Theater and how one of your cast members couldn't make it here today because of taking classes.
Right.
I know Memorial Opera House also does theater classes for kids. Are we seeing more kids get involved? Are we seeing this not millennial generation that's already out there now, but the younger kids coming up, the little siblings, are they getting back to the basics? Are we getting them more involved in theater?
It kind of seems that way. A lot of the community theaters seem to be having programs for children, if not down, you know, outright productions featuring children. That was one question we had with Nita, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. If the cast is a majority of children, are we viewing it and grading it like a cast of adults, or how do we approach that? I think it's there. I think the high school musical genre and things like that got a lot of people interested in performing and things. So we're seeing younger ones wanting, you know, that time on stage, and with cell phones and the videos and all that, you know, they're getting a lot of chances. So I think bringing it together, I think there's interest, and it depends on the communities, you know, to do that. Because it is a lot of time, and, you know, getting kids to rehearsal if the parents work, when can you do that? So it's, you know, a lot of juggling.
Now, are you involved in any of that kind of stuff as a director, an actor, theater person?
I don't work. Okay. I don't play well with children. That's why I teach, right? You know, it takes a special patience because I do have one young lady, and she's darling. She's a doll, but, you know, she can't read. And it's kind of, how do you teach a script, you know, to that?
Right.
And so that's kind of, you know, somebody more special can, you know, help with that to nurture it. So we're, you know, but everybody's kind of, you know, rallied around her, and she's bringing her along, and she's learning a lot, but it's kind of, you know, to deal with 20 of them, you know,
that'd be tough.
It would be, yeah.
Now, what is the hardest part of a director's job? As a live theater director, you know, we see on the film credits there's 900 assistant directors, but in theater it's pretty much a director and maybe an assistant AD.
Yeah, it's just a lot to keep track of, a lot of juggling. like the choreographer, he's focusing on dance, but I've got to focus on the staging and the dance and how that's going to fit together. The music director, he's got the pit, you know, and to do that, rehearse the songs, but I've got to make sure, you know, like they have microphones and lights and stands mm-hmm. and all the other things. So it's kind of very much overseeing a lot of different things, and I'm by no means an expert in everything, so I try to get the best people I can to deal with their
respective
section.
Parts yeah. And you're kind of the puzzle master that puts the
yeah.
pieces together
yeah
then. You mentioned live music, and it's interesting because a lot of theater sings to mm-hmm. pre-recorded tracks for budget reasons, if
right.
nothing else
oh, yeah.
But this production of State Fair, you're actually going to have a live pit group, a live orchestra.
Yeah, I think at last count I think it's 17 musicians.
Wow, that's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, it
and
is.
Again, they're donating their time.
Yeah, yeah. Several are from Highlands Community Band, which I'm a member of, and that's where I'm directing, so you know where my talents lie. But we have several saxophones, clarinets. We actually have a tuba, you know, trombones. So we just love the live music, and that's kind of, if you're having a musical, you need musicians mm-hmm. to play the music.
Now, is that common for the Highland Parks Department to have a pit group as opposed to doing, or is it just because of the fact that this was hard to get recorded music for?
You know, we've tried that. Greg Jasek is my music director, and he conducts Highlands Community Band as well as teaches music in Highlands. So they turned to him to, you know, how do we include the community band in this? So it kind of works together where he gets some of them, and, you know, he calls in a few favors now mm-hmm. and then to, you know, flesh it out. But he's in charge of that, and he's just phenomenal. He's a genius with music.
Yeah, as a director, is it easier for you to have a live orchestra as opposed to tracks, or does it not matter?
Yeah, I think it's easier, even though, you know, he's in one section of the part and I'm in another, because he's watching what's going on stage, and he can kind of control the orchestra, you know, to let's slow it down or something's going wrong mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of as a backup to something if something goes wrong. So I think it helps to have a live person there with live musicians.
Okay. We were talking about an organization that you're a part of as well.
Right.
And, that a lot of people don't even realize. You may go see local plays here and there, theater in the park, mm-hmm. and not realize that there is a healthy competition. I don't want to mm-hmm. say it's a rivalry or anything. It's a healthy competition to give your best performances.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sometimes rewarded.
There is
an awards program.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, and I believe they're just marking their 25th anniversary this week. It is called NIETF, as an acronym, NIETF, the Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation. And it's a group of several community theaters. Some are associate members, some are full members, where just to kind of promote excellence in community theater. They try to work together on some things. They're trying different projects. One thing they've started, they had for the second year a program called This Is My Brave, which has dealt with people who suffer from a variety of mental illnesses, kind of coming forward to share their stories in public. And that's been at the Memorial Opera House the past 2 years, and I believe it's been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of puts a spotlight where people wouldn't think to look. You know, here are good stories you need to know. And so they have, the end of the year, they do have an awards banquet, and we're just now getting ready to reapply to become viewers. They have a group of people, I'll say about 30 total, who go around to all the community theaters to view the plays and or musicals. And then they vote on them, what they thought, if any acting stood out or things like that.
So they critique the shows.
Yeah.
Are they basically not known, like when you send a mystery critic into a restaurant to taste the food without being showered of all
yeah.
the adulation? So it's...
No, I people kind of recognize
okay.
it, you know, because you go enough. And partly it's, as a viewer, we get a comp ticket, so they have to know who we are.
Okay.
So I think when we make the reservations, like, we got a viewer here tonight, so,
so tonight everybody on cue.
Yeah, you know. to do that. So, and it kind of, you know, it's, in a way, it's nice. We don't know what their comments are or anything to do that, but it kind of gives you, it's like, you're not doing this just for family. You mm-hmm. have other people. And they're also looking for talent, too, for their shows. You know, it's like, hey, I love that soprano you had. What was her name? And how do I reach her? Or something like that. So, kind of a family of sorts, you know, you get together. But, There's about between 40 and 50 productions a year, if you view both musicals and plays.
Is that just Lake and Porter area?
Yeah. The farthest we go is Michigan City, Dunes Summer Theater.
And, I've been to some of their shows. Yeah. There's a nice little theater that buried in the back that you can't find it very easy.
Yeah, it's air conditioned this year. We're excited. So
I remember seeing Jesus Christ Superstar with Kevin Geist there many, many years ago.
Yeah, I saw it a few years ago. It was, So, but yeah, they're doing something different this year. They're doing like six shows. They kind of, they've actually hired actors and kind of doing like a repertory type of thing. So, but we still go view for other criteria. So that's the farthest east, Chicago Street Theater in Valpo we view, Beatniks on Conkey and Hammond Community Theater, Highland Parks, we have just the one show, Larkin CL, Crown Point, former Crown Point Community Theater, and a few others I know I'm forgetting, but and we just kind of go around and
is the Crown Point group still together? I thought that dissolved.
They have renamed themselves Seedlings, I believe.
Okay.
I've lost. I know they had to move, and I'm kind of lost track with my show to
because that was kind of sad. It was a notice that they'd been around a while, and I'd seen a few of their shows.
About 13 years.
And suddenly said, "Well, we're not going to be here anymore." Yeah. And I thought the company was disbanding. It was just they lost their location.
They did lose the location. Okay. They have a possibility of going somewhere else in Crown Point to a building, but I don't think that facility is ready yet. But then they came up with a new name, and I'm not sure why or wherefore with that.
Well, good for them. If you get out there listening, keep us up in the loop on that so we can continue to promote your productions.
Yeah. And if people are interested in either seeing a show or being part of a show, they have audition notices. And they also have the schedule of performances. It's nietf.org. You can visit the website.
nietf.org.
Correct.
State Fair, how long is the production itself as far as length of each night?
I'm going for 2.5 hours.
That's a long show.
It is, but that includes a 15-minute intermission.
Okay, so it's
two acts.
Two acts.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long show.
Yeah, I'm
bring a very comfortable lawn chair. Let's play another song. You had mentioned you have a young lady that sings this.
Yes, Kelly Collins. She is just darling. And this song won the Academy Award in 1945 for the film version.
So this is the version that you're going to hear that won the award. This is It Might As Well Be Spring. We'll be back a final time with Peggy Glennie.
The things I used to like, I don't like anymore. I want a lot of other things I've never had before. It's just like Mother says. I sit around and mope, pretending I'm wonderful and knowing I'm a dope. I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, never heard from a man I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might.
Might as well be spring from State Fair, the film version. It came out back in the 1940s, mid-40s there. Mm-hmm. State Fair being produced at Highland's Gazebo Stage in Main Square Park in downtown Highland, July 27th, 28th, 29th, and then back a following weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of August. And Peggy Glennie, the director of this production, is with us. Again, John Huber and the Spot Studios doing sound on this production, and with a live pit group, a 17-piece pit group. He's got his hands full. This is going to be a big job.
He does. Yeah, he does. But
plus all the headsets for this cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wow.
Kind of have the swap chart and everything ready. So,
yeah. You know. I'm glad John's doing it. John is really good at his job. Now, what are the expectations of you as the director and the park department as far as turnout? What's an average crowd? When do you say we had a good crowd tonight, or we had a really bad crowd?
You know, I'm very spoiled because, you know, most theaters can't get, you know, fill a house, you know, for most runs. I've been to some shows at the park, and they weren't the best shows, but there was probably 200-300 people in the park, you know, because it's just something to do. You know, on average, I would say usually 500-600 people are there.
That's a pretty good crowd. And that's each of the six shows on average?
Usually the first night is a little low because we're a Thursday, Friday, Saturday run, our weekend. We don't do a Sunday show. So Thursday night people have work the next day. So it gets, you know, a little late. They'll come on Friday. But yeah, we usually several hundred a night easily.
Wow. And they come from all over the region?
Yeah. I know last year we had a family or a couple people from Lowell come because we lost two shows due to rain, and they had driven all the way from Lowell. And it's like, but, you know, we got the electrical cords running through the wet grass, and like, we don't want to sit in there.
Right. So. Now, in a case like that, you don't reschedule because there's so many spaces open on the gazebo stage.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and with the licensing, it has to be there. So we go inside and rehearse with the pit. So.
Okay. Yeah. Now, 400 or 500 people a night, that's a lot of people. That means a lot of cars. What's the parking situation like around Main Square?
Well, we have Our Lady of Grace Church across the street from us, First Presbyterian Church to the, that would be the east. I don't know my directions. and then Cross Ridge Road, New Life
Church. Highland Christians there, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, and some of the town parking lots are like within a block of, you know, the area. So you probably want to come early to get parking. As I said, several people come and just set out their lawn chairs in preparation to do that.
Now, they do sell refreshments there. Are they allowed to bring a picnic basket?
Yes. No alcohol, of course, because it is a park. But, many people bring picnic baskets. We're like a block from Langle's Pizza, you know. Mm-hmm. But they do sell concessions, and they'll have those available.
And, again, the concessions help out the theater department itself.
Right, because you're paying the exorbitant ticket price of zero. So,
right. And you mentioned that a couple of the performances are actually fundraisers, and that raises the question, if there's no ticket price, how do they make money for the different causes, and who are you raising money for?
It's not necessarily the theater. The Kiwanis and the, I believe, the Lions, they do their fundraising meals on the Fridays of the performance. The one does the corn roast the first Friday in August at Main Square Park, and people will come for that, buy the food, and stay for dinner. And then the other one does the Porta Pit Chicken, and that will be the first Friday, or last Friday in July. And they sell that, and people come. They have the picnic tables. They eat, and then, you know, they go sit and watch a show. So it's a real fun night out. It helps the two groups, and it helps us with an audience. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, Peggy, is there anything we haven't touched on? We've got about a half a minute left here.
I've just been very lucky with Greg Jasek as a music director and Larry Brewer of South Shore Dance Alliance, who is doing the choreography. Phenomenal work, and it's just come and see it. You will enjoy it.
All right.
And the price is right.
State Fair, Main Square Park in Highland, Gazebo Stage, Peggy Glennie directing, July 21st or 27th, 28th, and 29th, and August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, courtesy of the Highland Parks Department. Thank you for listening to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges.
Thank you, Tom.
To add to the show, I think I am falling.